You're listening to Girls with Grafts, a burn community podcast created by Phoenix Society for Burn Survivors, a leading nonprofit dedicated to supporting the burn community. In this podcast, we'll talk with burn survivors, share resources to help with supporting and improving burn recovery, and discuss how to prevent burn injuries. Here are your hosts, burn survivors and Phoenix Society's marketing team, Amber Wilcox and Rachel Kudlak.
Hello and welcome back to Girls with Grafts. I am Rachel Kudlak. I'm one of the hosts of the podcast, and I am joined today by my lovely co-host, Amber Wilcox.
Hi again. It's good to be here for yet another episode of Girls with Grafts. Rachel, excited once again for our guest today. But before we kick off our special guest, if it's possible, could you tell us a little bit about today's sponsor?
Yes. So today's podcast is powered by the Pritzker Hagman Law Firm. The Pritzker Hagman Burn Injury Legal Team helps burn survivors and their loved ones pursue compensation and justice throughout the United States. You can learn more about them and their team by visiting legaljourney.guide. And I'm really excited to introduce not one, but two guests for the podcast today. So we have on Holly and Chris Gage. Holly is the creator and instructor of the Warrior Scar Jewelry Workshops and co-founder of the Healing Phoenix Arts Program. Holly is a world-renowned jewelry artist and has instructed students of all ages and abilities with a soulful blend of creating during in-person workshops, interactive online classes, and retreats worldwide for almost 25 years. After her husband and son were involved in an explosion and fire in 2018, she became trained to support burn survivors and their families through Phoenix SOAR and is certified in the Post-Traumatic Growth Program from the Boulder Crest Foundation. Together with her husband, Christopher, they combine art with discussion as a healing modality for post-traumatic growth experiences. And Christopher is also a group discussion facilitator of the Warrior Scar Jewelry Workshop and the co-founder of the Healing Phoenix Arts Program. Christopher is a burn survivor whose recovery experience from his accident in 2018 is the number one event that has driven him to his current line of work. The explosion, fire, and destruction of his mobile restaurant has completely reshaped his life for the better in a positive way, resulting from working through the post-traumatic growth, PTG, process. Christopher learned that there is a teaching component to PTG and has a need to give hope to those who have suffered trauma. He is a peer support trained and certified burn survivor and in PTG. Christopher speaks about post-traumatic growth and is the author of a book detailing his journey to come out later this year. So thank you so much for joining us today, Chris and Holly.
Thank you. Yes,
thanks for being here. We're really excited to get to chat with you guys today. But before we do, Chris, as you know, our podcast features lots of survivors from all walks of life. And so it's important to us, if you're comfortable with it, telling us a little bit more about your burn injury and maybe your journey as a survivor, if we can start there.
Sure. My injury happened on August 12th, 2018, almost 5.5 years ago. Never expected to be in that position, of course. My son and I owned and operated a mobile food restaurant. So we were gearing up for that day on a Sunday to go out for an event that we had. And we did not know that overnight there had been a propane leak in the truck. And when we were getting ready, my son lit the stove and that just ignited whatever fumes were in there. He was inside the truck. I was at the door. So he got blown back. I got blown out basically because all the energy could only come through that door at the time. And that experience, I was kind of in and out for a while. I was aware enough to be able to tell the first responders my information, my wife, phone numbers, where I lived, all that kind of stuff. The last thing I remember was that really, and then I was just out, you know, being transported to the hospital, and then I was flown, Ryan also, my son was flown to Crozier Hospital outside Philadelphia, and we were there. He was there a little shorter than I was. I was there all in total, probably about 6 weeks. And I came home once, got a couple of nasty infections, had to go back again. And so I worked my way through this somehow with a very positive attitude while I was in the hospital. I just tried to engage people. I tried to keep the nurses, techs, whoever in the room just talking with me and just finding out about them. I really wanted to take the focus off myself. I have always been sort of an introvert, so I'm not comfortable with that attention on myself. And I had incredible support from my family. My daughter rushed up from North Carolina. She stayed with my wife for a month or so, helping out. Friends, families, people that we just sort of knew casually cared enough to support us. And I believe without that support that I probably wouldn't have been as positive and gotten through what I did. And then when I came back home again, I had incredible support from Holly and my family, the doctors, everybody else. So I'm going to be interested in talking about the post-traumatic growth when we get to that, because that was really a lot of what got me through it, not knowing at the time. I was just doing this and then learning about it and changing careers and doing different things. So it's been quite a journey. I will say right now that I really would not change anything in my life that has happened, because it's all brought me to this point, and it's pretty incredible right now.
Thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm excited to talk more about the post-traumatic growth as well. And fun fact, I was also initially first treated at Crozier Medical Center. So I don't live in Pennsylvania anymore, but at the time when I was injured, that's where I had my initial stay at.
Yeah. Excellent care down there.
Mm-hmm, definitely. And so, Holly, from your perspective as the caregiver of not just one, but two burn survivors, can you tell us a little bit more about your journey and just your experience even learning about their injuries?
Well, I teach people how to make jewelry for a living. And so I had people at my studio, and we had switched phones that morning. So I didn't know any of his passwords or anything like that. He needed my GPS. He had an old flip phone, which of course is another story. But anyway, so nobody could get a hold, of me. And because I was teaching, my phone was ringing and I wasn't picking it up. So when we went to order lunch, I found out people were frantically texting me and trying to get a hold of me. And the two of them were in an accident. I just left everybody here, and one of the students drove me down, which I'm very good friends with. And it was just a whirlwind. The one thing that I learned is they both went through a very different experience. Even though it was the same accident, they both, their after experience was very different. And so it really reminds me that no two people go through the same exact thing. Like Chris went through a period of going through the situation, dealing with things. And my son sort of was like, I'm not talking about this. And so it's really interesting to work. Both of them seem to have gone through growth at a different rate and differently. So that has been interesting. But yeah, I was sort of ballistic when I found out, they were both in a coma. And, it was very touch and go in the beginning. Everybody was saying that, I'd say, how are they doing? We'll just wait and see. That was, and I was like, oh, I'm not the most patient person. So that was difficult. And, gowning up for one and re-gowning up for the other, because they couldn't be in the same room because of the infections. So it was just like, I would just try and hold it all together.
Yeah, that's a lot for a caregiver to go through, right? And any just with one person, but to have two, that I can only imagine. So,
well, my like you said, my our family and my daughter was just incredible. She sort of was taking care of me a little bit, you know, like if I'd have a breakdown, she'd be like, okay, you know, and then she'd have a turn to have a breakdown or whatever. So, yeah, it was just crazy.
I'm sure. So I know we talk a little bit about kind of that recovery and kind of overcoming some of that, but I know, tell us a little bit more, I think, about how that's impacted you like over time, right? So like we have that initial, but I think as we're getting into that post-traumatic growth, right? Like a little bit about how that journey has been for you.
Well, for me, when I first came home, of course, I lost my business. It was destroyed. I didn't know what I was going to do at that point. And I still had a lot of things around the house that could remind me of that business. So I did a lot of crying in the beginning. I just, you know, anything could set me off, but I really did a lot of crying. But then I kind of released and sort of surrendered to it all. And especially the second time I had to go back into the hospital, I said, okay, I'm just going to stay here as long as they need me to stay here, because I never want to come back again. So I had to really sort of surrender a lot of things. I had to let Holly drive me around all over the place. I had to let her take care of me. I had to let everybody, you know, cook me, you know, help clean me, all that kind of stuff. And I'm not naturally that kind of a person. I do a lot of things myself. And when we get into the post-traumatic growth, this is actually part of it. Part of it is, just letting other people help you, accepting that help, and you need that help. You just can't. I couldn't imagine going through this without the support that I had, most specifically from Holly, but also everybody else. It would be a really, really lonely journey, and I know people go through this probably, and it's very difficult. So I almost feel sometimes when I'm explaining things to people with the amount of support I have, I almost feel a little timid in saying that, because I was so grateful for that support. But eventually I had to change career paths, and I got into my lapidary work, and working with Holly with the Warrior Scar Jewelry now, it's been exciting. To have to start all over again is tough, but like I said before, I wouldn't change anything, because I think I'm on a much better path now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. You talk about Holly and your experience. So I was burned later in my life, you know, as well. And if it weren't for my husband, right, I don't know what I would do. And I think you guys could probably speak to this, but I think it also makes you a stronger bond as a couple, as being able to have been through something really difficult and be on the other side of it. For sure. I think like we look at, you know, challenges now as a couple differently than we may have, because we've gone through something really difficult. And so I think that's definitely something that I've taken away from it, of like, oh, we can do anything, right? Like we've taken on this together as a couple. So this is, you know, whatever challenge we have, they're not necessarily always problems, right? They're inconveniences, but we've been through really tough things, so we could totally get through this.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, I think back, there could be a lot worse things that probably could happen, but right now this is the worst thing that's happened in our life. And so it does help you get through some things in life now where, okay, that's not, you know, we don't need to get really, really upset about that or really, you know, focus in on that, because it's just your perspective changes. Mm-hmm. It really does.
Definitely. And Chris, I know you talked a little bit about kind of almost that sense of like loss of independence through the burn injury, because you do have to learn to rely, and you have to rely on others to help you through that journey. So Holly, from your perspective, what are some of like the challenges that you faced as a loved one and more in that caregiver role?
Well, not just as a caregiver, but as his wife. It was important for me when he came home for him to know I still loved him and that the burns are not bothering me. And mm-hmm. so I wanted to be intimate earlier just to let him know that it was okay. I accepted everything. I was afraid to touch him. You know, everyone said, because I was the one that was doing the wound changes and the stretching and, you know, stretching his arm out and stuff like that. I didn't want to be the one to hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was important for me to express that no matter what you've been through, that I will be here for you and that I love you and I still find you sexy and desirable, you know.
No, that's great to hear. You know, even dating post-burn injury is a common question and theme that comes up. And Holly, I'm sure you've even heard that as a peer supporter too, of how will someone love me after a burn injury? Like, but it also comes from that self-love that we talk about all the time on this podcast too, of, you know, you have to love yourself and, you know, surround yourself with folks who, you know, your scars don't matter to them. It's just a part of who you are now.
I absolutely agree. I mean, recently I put up a post on the Burn Survivor Forum of something to the effect of what surprising thing has happened to you afterwards. And I think, you know, when people were saying that I'm accepting myself, I mean, that self-love is really, really important. And I think it made all the difference in the world with his recovery because, you know, you've got to eventually get past the point of hating yourself, hating your body, hating the way you look, and moving on to a place like, I'm okay with myself. I love myself. And that is a huge step to take is to, mm-hmm. you know, like when people are saying, oh, I didn't wear long sleeves today. I'm like, yay, you know, I think that's so cool that they're like getting to the point. And I know that takes a little while for some and then maybe not so long for others, mm-hmm. but just to be comfortable in your own skin. And this, of course, forces it in a completely different way than average life does.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Well, I mean, even 5.5 years in, I still struggle with that. Mm-hmm. All of my burns were basically where a shirt was on your body, mm-hmm. caught on fire. So I have, you know, the scars on this arm here. I'm sometimes still like pulling my sleeve down, even 5.5 years later. I'm still not totally comfortable with it, although I'm more comfortable with myself now than I was before the accident, which sounds kind of strange, but that's a more general feeling as opposed to a pretty specific part of my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I think that there are times where I'm more comfortable than others, right? And it's just, for me, it's like when it's folks that you know, right? Like if I go out in public to the grocery store, I struggle with like, okay, like I don't care if someone in the grocery store sees it, but if it's like somebody I've been acquaintances with and then they've never seen it and then all of a sudden they see it, you're like, ooh, what are they going to think? And that's where I think it's strange that, you know, in certain scenarios, I feel like I have a more difficult time with it than others. And I can't really tell you why. Like, I don't really know if it's like for fear of being judged or what, but I find it being, depending on the situation, like situational, like I can be comfortable with it. And then there are some days where I'm like, I just would rather hide it so I don't have to talk about it kind of thing, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a weird thing. A couple of things. One is it gives me a weird feeling if, you know, I'm out and I'm putting my arms up or something and I will see somebody's eyes go directly towards the scars and it gives you kind of a strange feeling, but it is who you are now. And
right.
So yeah, it's, I don't know. To what you were saying about in different situations, we went to the Burn Congress this year and I found myself actually trying to push my sleeves up because I've deal with the hidden scar thing because mm-hmm. to look at me with clothes on, you'd never know. And so when I'm around, you know, in the burn community, I almost feel a little strange because you can't see anything, but then that has its advantages too, because if you don't want to be seen, then, you know, you can go around covering it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard some hidden burn survivors. I mean, for my experience, I have scars on my face, my hands, obviously other places, but I can't really hide them ever. Like, you're always going to see a little bit of my scars.
Right.
And I think for the hidden burn survivors, it's almost harder to kind of have that self-love and that confidence, because it is so easy to hide away and not show them if you don't want to. But, you know, those who always have their scars visible, it's like, well, I don't really have another option. You kind of jump into that maybe earlier than you want to, but you're forced to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember when he first came home, though, he didn't want to go out. He didn't want to talk about this with, like, if I have to confront this story over and over again, you know, and he finally got more comfortable with going out and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit more about the post-traumatic growth that I talked about in your bios. I mean, maybe just from like a high level, can you just even tell us, like, what does post-traumatic growth mean? And how did you kind of get, or I guess use this as part of your healing journey from both of you?
Well, in a nutshell, post-traumatic growth shows that you can actually have a good life, positive things happen in your life after a traumatic experience. And it's really, I know my experience was I could either go one or two ways. I could either take a positive route and do what I needed to do to get better and get out of the hospital and get back home and hopefully move on with my life. Or I could be really negative and I could start blaming everybody and everything for the reason why this happened and why I'm at where I'm at. And I could never go back to, you know, having a mobile food restaurant again and things like that. So post-traumatic growth, there's five or six different aspects of it. So I thought if it's okay that I would just briefly outline the aspects and give you sort of an example of how that looked, at least for me. And it may be similar or different for other people too. But one of the first aspects is you realize you have a personal strength. And for me, I realized that in the hospital I had a stronger will than I thought I ever did, because I had to get myself through that. And even though the stretching was so painful and everybody was telling me, yeah, gotta do the stretches, you don't want to get the contractures, you'll be back in the hospital again. And I knew I didn't want that to happen, because I certainly didn't want to go through PT again with all that, but I just physically could not do it at that time. And, but I did start to do that in the hospital, did it at home. But the personal strength, basically just, you know, you realize that you survived something, you survived a horrific thing that not everybody goes through in life. And you have to have some kind of a strength or a strong will or something to really bear through that. Because as you know, you have a good day and you're going to have a couple bad days and you might have another good day or two. And then it's not a straight line. It's an up and down thing. So that's personal strength. Another aspect is improved relationships with others. And that can mean, for me, it meant just improved relationships with Holly. Amber, you had mentioned how you and your husband got a little closer and stronger in your bond and all that. Well, that absolutely happened with us. I mean, I'm even more in love with Holly than I was yesterday, you know, but our relationship has really strengthened from that, and our intimacy too. And it's been really, really pretty cool to watch that and see that. An appreciation for life. You know, you have an appreciation for, you know, whether it's nature or people around you or maybe the things you have. So maybe you take stock of what you have and you can be happy with that, you know, like, maybe you don't have a need to, oh, I got to have all these things, or I've got to make $1 million or something. Your perspective really changes a little bit on that. Then there's another aspect of new life possibilities. Part of what you've gone through is you may realize that you cannot return to what you were doing anymore. Maybe it's physical, maybe it's financial or whatnot. So through post-traumatic growth, you know, you examine new opportunities. And in my case, I did the lapidary. I had already had that in mind at some point in my life, but it was available in there. And I was able to move into that. So I was able to shift from being a chef to doing lapidary work. And then the fifth and sixth one kind of merge. There's a spiritual growth aspect of it. Some people get more spiritual or more religious. In my case, I didn't know if that was going to happen, but in the last 9 months or so, I've been going through a spiritual journey of my own, but I'll be honest, it's more of a universe type of spirituality as opposed to organized religion and things like that. But it has really caught my interest. And, just as a side note, I've been having some experiences with that have been really, really very interesting. But along with the spiritual growth is the new understanding of life's meaning and purpose. You might realize, that these things aren't as important anymore. My family and relationships is more important. So you just get a different way of going through life with post-traumatic growth. Now, to get back to your original question, I was going through these in the hospital. I did not know about post-traumatic growth at the time. It wasn't until a year or two afterwards that we had come across the science of this, and we got really into it, started researching it and everything. And it's really, really very interesting. And at the Burn Conference, they actually did have one of the breakout groups was on post-traumatic growth. So I was happy to see that.
Well, yeah. Can I jump in and say something? I think contrast this whole thing is prior to the accident, Chris was dealing with some depression. And so this complete turnaround, that's when we were like, okay, I'd understand if he were depressed. It made sense to me. Like somebody goes through this and, they're grappling with it and things like that. What he was going through, I was like, okay, this is really interesting. I mean, we've all heard of post-traumatic stress disorder because they really focus on how, unhealthy you are. And not to say you should ignore that, because you obviously should not ignore that. And plus, you could go through growth and still have that as well. But the thing is to look at your future and go, I actually do have big possibilities. And I thought that, I can't go back to what I was doing, but to see that there are other things that you can be doing, that's pretty powerful. And one of the things I often say to people that have gone through these experiences, you'll hear them say a lot of times, I just did what I had to do. Well, I'm sorry. So, some people don't make it through that. And doing what you had to do, like if you stop and think about that, you had to do so much to recover. It's not like it was just going to happen. So I ask them to pause and go, wait a second. You didn't just do what you had to do. You performed a miracle of will and strength and determination and fortitude to get to where you are. I mean, there are some people like, I'm not doing the stretching, and then they can only lift their arms up so high and things like that. So those that do, it's like, I like to point out that, well, this isn't just, something that you persevered through. It's something that you conquered. And that is a totally different feel to the situation.
Mm-hmm. So I know, Holly, that you're a trained peer supporter. And so I'm sure, and I can see that coming through even as you're talking with us now. So why did you want, I think I know the answer to this, but what motivated you, other than your journey with Chris to kind of join the program and help other, whether it's, caregivers or survivors on their journey, kind of giving back right after, the injury and having gone through that with both, Chris, but other family members as well.
I think it's the love that we got from the jewelry community that I belong to, and the love from family and friends, and the hospital. I mean, like, there's such a depth of care. I really felt like paying it forward was, it just felt right to try to pay it forward in some way, because you can't pay it back. You can't pay that kindness back. I mean, there were people that just would like, what can I do? They were just sending all kinds of little things, something, because they felt so helpless in the situation. And yeah, and the other piece is that when you're in the hospital, there, you know, there are a myriad of things going on that you're like, what? Where'd that blister come from? I got rid of those. Or, you know, why am I itching so much? Why? So many questions. And I saw Chris talk to one or two people that were burn survivors, and to see him in a better state was so uplifting for them. And they could see, like, okay, maybe there is a life after this. And, you know, of course, I'm the caregiver, so the caregivers are like the same questions, and what do I do, and guilt, and things mm-hmm. like, why wasn't I there? You know, why didn't I pick up the phone? You know, those kinds of things. You know, all the shoulda, woulda, coulda, and to let them know you still loved them. Mm-hmm. You're just not there at the moment, you know, like to remind them of their humanity mm-hmm. because they're forgetting.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Super powerful. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I know, right. Like, I think when we give back, we also find a way to heal ourselves. Right. And so I find but I will tell you, Tyler and I felt the same way. And to this day, we'll say, like, the amount of folks that came forward that were ultimately like kind of strangers to us in some ways, right? Like, that stepped up both from an emotional, but like a physical gift, right? Of like giving us the gift of like, hey, you know, flowers were coming from like all over the place. And my husband was like, where are all these people coming from? Like, we're acquaintances, right? But like, understanding the kindness of others, I think really helped us, like, you know, how do we get past that forward, right? And then joining the support groups and getting the support and the friendships of, again, these complete strangers really meant so much to us. And so I think that does definitely motivate you. And until you said that, Holly, I was like, you know what? I forget. Like, you forget that's why you do it, right? Of like, there were so many people for no reason at all that just came to provide kindness. And you really learn, like, who your friends are through some of your toughest times. And I think that's really important.
And it's actually a gift that I learned this through this process, but it's actually a gift to the person giving if you receive what they're giving.
Yes. And to just accept it rather than take it away. Yep.
That's always been hard for me, is to accept help or accept things from other people. Yep. But when you do that, you're actually doing something for the person that's giving. They want to give, they want to help. And if you deny that, then that, you know, that sort of does something to them too.
Breaks that to them, yeah.
Maybe feeling helpless.
Right, right.
Yeah, we were always like the givers. We'll give, we'll do, and then we realized that it's so much easier when you have an exchange going on. Like, the silly borrow a cup of sugar. Well, being that she borrowed a cup of sugar, I can now borrow milk and not feel, you know, it's like a reciprocal thing. And we learn the value of accepting as much as it is as equally.
Sometimes that's harder, right? Like, to accept help than it is to give it, I think, anyway. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely. Well, I want to switch us up a little bit, because I do want to spend some time to talk about your Warrior Scar Jewelry Workshop. I was unfortunately not at World Burn Congress this year, but Rachel was, and I know you had a workshop there. So can we talk a little bit about those workshops, like, and what they are, maybe, and just so we can understand a little bit more for those of the listeners and viewers that may not know about them?
Yeah, so I'm going to let Holly talk about the jewelry part of it, but pretty much what we wanted to do was combine a sort of a therapeutic process with also conversation, because I wanted to work in the post-traumatic growth part of it with people. Now, you're not sitting there telling them this is what your experience and this is what you should expect, but it's like sort of observing and watching and seeing if they've, like I identified for Rachel and Amber, I identified that you guys have done this just from a couple of things that you said. One, Rachel, you said, you know, when we're talking about the hidden scars, you're talking about your face. You had to make a decision that for you to move forward, you were going to have to go out into public, that you had no choice. And that's growth. You accepted that. That was that's your reality. You accepted it and you went and you did it. Mm-hmm. And with Amber, your example of you and your husband, that's part of the growth too, is you're getting closer. You're realizing that your relationship is very important and all the little things in that. So that's what the conversation part is not to force people to talk, but to see if they would open up and see if you can identify that they have had some growth, and then some way you can work into that, to tell them that in so many words, to, you know, be proud of yourself for the hard work that you've done. So I'm going to let Holly talk about the jewelry part here, because she's the one that came up with the idea.
Well, let's hear it, Holly.
Crazy idea or a wonderful idea. And at first it's like, it's crazy until what's wonderful kind of thing. But this is a bracelet that I made. And the background of that is Chris's scars. And it says warrior on it. And this is a gratitude symbol on that side. So anyway, I don't know if I saw him lying on the bed and I was like, can I mold your scars? And the old Chris would have been like, no way. But then Chris let me do it. So there's a blob of the molding compound. It's like a two-part non-toxic molding compound. And you just press it on, let it sit there for a while. And I work with a material called metal clay. And it's basically a high-tech moldable metal in fine silver. So it comes out to be pure silver when you're done. And basically you press the clay into the mold and you can shape it, cut it, and you put it in a kiln and fire it. And, you know, it comes out, it's silver, and we finish it and people can pick a gem to put in it. Usually they pick their birthstone or things like that. But what the important part is they come out so beautifully. Like people are sitting there. A lot of people do not like their scars. I don't know many people that are going, hey, look at my scar. You know, it's like, if you notice, I'll talk about it. If not, but anyway, we have the most thoughtful conversation around the jewelry making. And the post-traumatic part that we infuse in it is that discussion. Like people will talk about, like what I said earlier, I did what I had to do. It's my job to stop you and go, no, it was much, much more than that. It was, you know, this was a growth, like what you did was powerful. And, you know, the obvious thing to me is if you don't scar over, you're not going to survive. You need to heal. That needs to. And so there is so much strength that I see in the scars. They represent so much fortitude and healing and fight and things like that. There's so much. And so it's very important for people to realize that, yeah, okay, I don't like the way it looks, but you know what? This is something to honor because this makes me who I am now. And this helped me to survive my situation. And I'm a badass, you know, I can do this thing. And so throughout the session, people are not forced to talk, but people sort of talk because Chris will open it up and talk about his experience. We make it a safe place to talk. And a lot of it isn't even happening with us. It's happening in like the group at the table. Oh, how did you get yours? And they're going back and forth. And at the end of the group, we do this big presentation with the jewelry. We present them in boxes and things like that. And people are shocked about how beautiful they come out. And it's just such a paradigm shift from hiding it and things like that to being proud of it. And it seems like that happens all the time. Mm-hmm. We did it with little kids, and there's a little girl I'm always referencing. Her name is Lila. And just, she came, we did it at Susquehanna Camp for kids, 6 to 16. And, you know, she walked in, everybody, you know, hiding her scars and things like that. And at the end, after her jewelry came out, she was going, look at my jewelry. Does it look familiar? And then tell, because you don't know, like when you first see it, it just looks like a cool texture. And in fact, in jewelry making terms, there's a process called reticulation, and it looks just like that. Except these are actually a little more interesting, but people purposely make textured like that to work with. So anyway, she, does that look familiar? And she's like, touch it, touch my scar. Look, it's the same. And I was just like, wow. Like for and then going home and showing all of her friends, showing her parents. And then I got a little note from her mom saying, what a difference in her attitude and things like that. And that is typical. That is not an isolated situation. And so I follow this little, like, she's my fan, right? I see that she's always raising money and doing things and has so much confidence now when she walked in and didn't have so much. And that was so cool for me to see. And but everybody at camp was doing that. Look. So then we did it at the Burn conference. And again, the conversation got so thoughtful. Like there was a woman that was there in her older ages, and this happened to her when she was a child. And Chris, through the demonstration of doing the mold on his, she had never seen graphs. And she, at the end of the discussion, she was like, thank you for being vulnerable and showing your scars, because he felt uncomfortable even though he was around other burn survivors. She said, I've never seen a graph before, and I'm pretty sure that that's what I had. Now that she's an older person, that her skin looks different, you know, but it like clicked what it was for her. So I think at some of these, there's a lot of realizations, like those aha moments, like, yeah, you're right. I did get through something tough. And yeah, you're right. I moved on to graduate school, and that's not something I probably would have done before. You know, like, so these little moments, it's our job to point them out, like the growth that they've made, because sometimes they're, you know, I'm just going through my life. This is commonplace. No, not so common when you completely reinvent yourself. You know what I mean? So I think it's important that people recognize their triumphs and things like that. That's how you get through stuff like this. And so to see people see that and notice it and feel good about it, you know, that makes it totally worth it. And the jewelry comes out beautiful. Like if when he's wearing that, people go, oh, that's so pretty. And then don't even know what it is. And most people wouldn't know what it is.
Although the burn community knows what it is when they see it. Yeah.
Well, I made his jewelry first, and I didn't know if people were going to think that's odd. You know, I'm walking around wearing his scars, really. And I wear my jewelry all the time so I can feel close to him. So I'll show you what I the very first thing I made for myself. And then I also gave one to each member of the, I can't get this off, one each member of the Crozier team, because I was so indebted by what they did. But they're the ones that looked at it and said, oh, I know what that is. They knew immediately what it was.
I was just going to say that too, as you're showing us that this could be a really great gift idea too for a caregiver in your life of, you know, you've been with me through this entire process. You know, burn affects so much more than just the survivor, that I love this idea of you wearing it every day as just connecting as part on that journey.
Well, this is what I made for myself. And it's the scars are surrounding. There's a heart in the middle and a gratitude symbol. And it's bursting through flames is a heart filled with gratitude.
I love that.
Somebody bought her husband one recently because I custom make them if people don't, you know, aren't nearby and don't want to go to the workshop or something like that. You know, we travel with that, but it's just, it's intense. It's an intense.
There could be a lot of emotion. And we're having our discussion around the table, you know, we're passing around a thing of napkins because people get very emotionally charged. Mm-hmm. Controlled way, not, you know, out of control or anything like that. It brings on, you know, brings on some emotion.
Well, in a way, it's a good outlet that people can actually talk about this because that's another part of it, telling your story. Some people have just sucked it in. Telling your story and letting that out and feeling those feelings and then letting it pass. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us in daily life, I'm definitely one of these. I'm going to push it down,
not talk about it.
It'll go away and it doesn't go away. It'll eke out in little bits and little bits until you deal with it.
So this 1,000%.
A great way of just dealing with some of the that you went through, but it was wonderful. We passed around the tissue box. Everybody talked about their jewelry and talked about why they did that part of their scar and what it represented to them. And everybody was hugging and it was just a really beautiful moment. And so when I say intense, I'm talking about the whole conference. You're taking in a lot of information at the conference, and so that can be intense. But the workshop itself was cathartic. There was a lot of kinship. Like I feel like you bonded with everybody, and like, you know, I just want to be friends with everybody now, and you know, stay connected and stuff like that because you've talked about something intimate and difficult. And did it with safety, a safe environment, and you could walk away saying, there's a couple things that I didn't realize about myself that I'm a lot stronger than I thought I was.
Every year I get to go to a conference in person with the Firefighter Burn, and it's been so like kind of healing to sit around a table, right? Like, and just be around a table of other survivors of all different like walks of life. And I think there's that element of community where when you just get people in a room to talk and they're not forced to talk about, right? It's not in a support group per se. It's we're all here to do some sort of activity together. There's like, they find that commonality through that, right? Survivor kind of journey and be able to talk about it. And that in and of itself is very healing. Never mind like getting to talk through like the details of your scars. I think that's so healing as well. I've done the scar prints. Someone taught me how to do that. And you like put paint on your scars and then make like art from that. And just that in and of itself, like to do through like being able to see beauty in something that may not otherwise be beautiful, right? Or to you may not be beautiful. But then you see it and you're like, you know what, there is something, some unique beauty in that. So I do think it's definitely a very healing opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited because I wish you guys did them here because I'm like, oh man, that sounds really exciting. I wish I could do a jewelry of my scars because now like putting it in a different light. You showed me that bracelet and I love it. With that said, I want to know more about how, because I know we are coming up close to time here, on how can someone join one of your workshops? I know you have a website. I'm going to put that down at the bottom. But please tell me more about, like, if someone hears about your workshop, how can they get involved?
There is on the website, there's a sign up for an existing class that we have one at the Lehigh Valley Hospital on, April 6th, but this is coming out April 9th. So that's not helpful, but we travel, you know, we'll go to different, support groups or different hospitals, things like that. If somebody, we also have a place on the website where you could order one. I personally love doing them, but I love the workshops because it's that extended experience of there's nothing like the sense of community, especially like when you have something that not everybody around you has, having people that you can relate to and talk to and just let your hair down or your sleeves up or whatever, to be there, you know?
And the ones that you sell on the website, those are of Chris Scarce, correct?
No. I send out a molding kit.
I didn't know that. That's awesome. Yeah.
I send out a molding kit. It's really easy. You take two molding, you know, it's like putty, and you mix them together, and you put it on your scar, and you wait a couple
And then we send it to you to make the jewelry as well.
So awesome. A little bit of exchange, you know, a couple of mailings, but it's a pretty cool process. There's been some people that have taken advantage of that, and it's pretty cool. And Holly, like she says, she does enjoy doing the creative part of that, you know, and how it all comes together. And people are always thrilled, you know, because you like to show them along the way what's happening. Yeah. Or they get their approval and everything.
Yeah. Well, that's really neat. I didn't know that you did. Very cool. Well, yeah, you will be seeing an order from me for sure. Cause I know my burniversary is coming up here on the 5th. So, or was on the 5th, we should say, right? Like, or this is airing on the 9th, but, I always try to do something right in memorial every year of like, whether it's go to the spa or get a piece of jewelry for myself. So very cool, guys. That's awesome. Well, as we're coming up on time here, I know we always ask our listeners two questions before we close out. And so my question that I always ask, this is really for both of you, Holly, if you want to take this one. The first question, like, what is something that you want caregivers or loved ones of survivors? And Chris, this may be different. Like, I know what I would want caregivers or loved ones to know is different than what my husband, Tyler, will want caregivers and loved ones to know. So tell me more about kind of what special piece of kind of knowledge you want to make sure that you leave for caregivers or loved ones.
Well, I have... I guess I have something on mind here with that. At the very early stages, I guess, of recovery, when you're, you know, out of your coma and you're starting to realize everything that happened, and maybe it's when you get back home and stuff, there's sort of I think for the caregiver, it might be walking on eggshells a little bit, but the person who's been injured, at least in my case, I have certain feelings about myself and how I feel about myself. And it doesn't always help to have a lot of positive feedback that the injured person might perceive as sort of just, you're just telling me this, you know what I mean? Because I'll give you an example. You know, Holly loves me very much. She reinforced that, told me that, and she told me that she was okay with my scars and things like that. But I had such a horrible feeling about my scars that I couldn't really validate that, what she was saying to me. And I was like, well, that's not how I feel about it. So I guess it'd be great if there was some kind of classes or something. And I know it's just a horrible, horrible time, but for the caregivers to have in how to treat, because it's all unknown, how to treat their injured person, because it can be very tricky and sticky. And I'm sure she didn't know whether what she was going to say was going to set me off or something like that. And so that's a tough thing, I think, that people have to deal with in the beginning. And it'd be nice if there was information and some kind of, you know, something that people could read or take a class or something and understand that. Maybe it'd be interesting, maybe the burn hospitals, maybe if they had that, you know, like little group type things where they could pull the people, maybe when somebody's getting debridement or something, pull the family people back and have a little talk about that or something. I don't know how that would work, but that would be one of my suggestions from the very beginning.
I think the thing is that, you know, it is navigating a bit of a minefield because You don't know what's going on in their head. And I was trying to be careful not to give empty platitudes or be overly like, but the inner part of it, I'm a fixer. I want to fix things. And the thing, mm-hmm. what I through my training was listening is more important than fixing. They don't necessarily, people don't always want to be fixed. They want to be heard. And that's a really powerful thing. And as a lifelong fixer, that's tough to say, okay, I don't have to fix this. They just want to be heard and understood. So, when it came to him, I tried not to be overly, but apparently that still sometimes comes across that way, even if you don't mean it. You know, I tried to be as authentic as I could, and but they need a chance to talk. They need a chance to digest everything. And it'd be great if you could go through it together, but sometimes it doesn't include you, you know.
That's something that I learned and also read a lot about was, and you too will probably know about this, when you're going through your recovery and you're in the hospital, you have to spend a lot of time in your head because you've got to sort things out and you've got to deal with them. And sometimes, a lot of times, that's, you're the only person that can do that. Nobody else can do that for you. So, yeah.
Definitely. Well, thanks so much for that advice and suggestions. You know, the early stages is never easy for anyone. So we just have to try our best and make our best decisions on how to help. So I appreciate that. But our final question, it is our Phoenix partner question, which today is sponsored by the Pritzker Hagman Law Firm, a nationally recognized personal injury firm helping clients throughout the United States. So their question is, what is one thing that always brings a smile to your face, no matter how tough your day has been?
Well, for me, it's probably, and this is a little sound sappy, but it's probably looking at Holly and seeing her smile at me and her, or gaze at me in a certain way that, you know, I can tell she's thinking about me. And that just, you know, can change my mood just like that, you know?
I love that. How about you, Holly? And don't feel obligated. You don't have to say Chris back, right?
Oh, yeah. I realized I can live without him because I had to for a period of time. And I didn't want to. So I walk around with a lot of gratitude because I feel like I get these stolen moments, you know, that weren't guaranteed. You know, they're just not guaranteed. And you know, I'm even still grateful, like, to all the people that supported us. I mean, like, I'm like thinking to myself, there's no way I would have made it through this without that wind, you know, beneath my wings, so to speak. So, I'm really very full of gratitude all the time. I mean, there's so much that was given to me, and he's one of them.
Well, we really appreciate you both coming on today and sharing your story with us. We will absolutely put in our show notes the link to your website to make sure that everyone that's listening or watching us today can see the beautiful work that you do. And we thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure to have both of you on.
Thank you.
It was really kind of you to have us.
Thanks so much.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Have a great day, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for tuning in to this episode of Girls with Grafts. If you are enjoying this content, please feel free to rate, subscribe, and leave a review wherever you listen to your podcasts. This helps others find the show, and we greatly appreciate it. Thanks again for listening, and we'll catch you in the next episode.